This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Menstrual Hygiene Day today. MH is a global advocacy platform that brings together the voices and actions of nonprofits, government agencies, individuals, the private sector, and the media to promote good menstrual hygiene management for all women and girls. Sadly, period poverty is still an issue around the world, and so is the environment. A total of 2.4 billion period products are disposed each year in Malaysia alone, filling up our landfills, and a woman averages 11,000 pads of tampons in a lifetime. I didn't know that. I'm here today with Malise Tan from Bobble to discuss how she plans to change this. Good morning, Malise.
Good morning.
So tell me, what got you on this journey of starting Bobble?
Well, it was actually a journey of a couple of years, and I think it took sort of a traumatic time in my life to realize what a problem that we're actually facing in this space. So if I kind of go back to 2017, I'd just given birth to my daughter. At that time, she was 2 months old when I was actually diagnosed with stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer, and made a quick decision to go through chemotherapy. So I went through that for 6 months. And as I was going through that journey, I started to think about what I was using in the household for myself and my family now that I have children. So we tried to start changing what we're using at home in terms of cleaning detergents, body care, etc. Period products was one of the items that I looked into because I've been an avid tampon user since I was a teenager. So I use tampons and panty liners. So it was just more trying to understand what I was putting in my body. And in Malaysia, for tampons that don't have applicators, we only really have one choice. I had one choice at the time. And I realized that I didn't really understand what that particular brand was using in their tampons. So I was trying to look for alternatives that were safer for the body, found that a lot of these brands were based overseas, don't ship to Malaysia, could be really expensive. I just thought it was, at the time I wasn't working, I took a career break for a year and a half. So I was also kind of minding the dollars and cents of how much I was spending. So after reading more about and into this industry, I realized that a lot of the generic brands that we buy are made with a lot of plastics and chemicals. And very obviously the packaging is made out of plastics. And I was sort of set about on this crusade, I suppose, after completing chemotherapy successfully. I guess I decided that this was a space that needed a little bit more attention. And after, I think, educating myself, I realized not only how little us women know about what we actually use for our period care products, but actually how little we knew when it came to own periods and menstrual health. And so from there, after kind of, I guess it's more stumbling upon it for my own needs, I kind of went through a journey of more research, more validation. And that's where I decided that this is something that now I have a second chance in life. I wanted to do something that had more purpose.
Right. Why the name Bobble?
Yeah. Actually, when I was doing my research, I needed to name my files. And my daughter was just starting to talk at that time. So she was trying to say the word bubble and it sounded like bobble. So I just took that and named my files and it kind of just stuck. And I guess I just decided that, well, it was a name that was easy enough to say, quirky enough to remember. And, you know, touch wood, if the business didn't work out and I've pivoted, the name is quite generic that I could kind of carry with whatever I moved into.
Right. Okay. And it's cute, right? You do remember it, right? So you were saying you took some time off, right? How long did you take to do product research, though? I remember you're located in the same office as me, and then we would talk, and then you say, I'm still doing some research, but it took a bit of time, didn't it?
Yeah, it was both time, also because I was working full time at the same time. I had found a job after chemo, but I think it's also confidence, perhaps, that held me back. And so I would probably, the journey was about a year of just research in my own time. And even though I, technically founded this in sort of late 2019, it was really, you know, on that co-working space, right? Just testing out with a pilot, just selling at a bazaar. We didn't have a website or anything like that, just really testing it out. And after going through a testing phase of about 7 months, we actually sold out some of our products. And then I realized, okay, I think we're onto something here. So we like officially like launched middle of last year. I know, in the middle of a pandemic, but yes.
Right. All of your products made in Malaysia.
So our infrastructure is that the raw materials, of course, can't be all made here. The raw materials come from different parts of the world. So we do use certified, GOTS certified organic cotton, amongst other materials. And then that's all then shipped into China. So we have a factory in China. They have the machinery and the molds. We then ship that loose here into Malaysia, and I do the packaging here. So we use biodegradable packaging. So we source for FSC certified paper, which means that for every tree that's cut down, they plant back a new tree. So sourced from sustainable forests, and we source for soy ink. So our packaging in itself is fully biodegradable, and that's something I wanted to QC here. So we do that here, and we pack and fulfill everything here in KL.
Right. Unfortunately, we don't have the facilities to do something here yet in terms of the production. We don't have it.
In terms of the machinery, we do. It's possible. But then it becomes very expensive. And then from a, you know, from a business to consumer or a direct to consumer aspect, this is a cost that we didn't want to pass on to the customer too much, because we don't want to send the message, and we don't think that it should be that customers are paying really expensive, and that really pure products shouldn't be a luxury item. So we try to, you know, make sure that our pricing, although we're a little bit more expensive than the generic brands, but we are cheaper than the imported brands.
Mm. So, you know, you're mentioning about GOTS, right? But one thing that like just astounds me, right? And 11,000 pads or tampons in our lifetime, right? As a woman, that's a lot of... That's a lot of you know, waste, right? But so you were saying this is a GOTS, which is which means certified organic cotton that's free from toxins, chlorine, perfumes, and dyes for a range, you know, of, for your products, right? So what does GOTS stand for?
So it's the Global Organic Textile Standard. And so it's a global organization. They're headquartered in Amsterdam, actually. So you need to make sure the certification comes from there. And then it's also recognized here in Malaysia.
Right. And I guess, you know, you're looking at how do you ensure you're price competitive? Where is that space you want to play in?
Yeah, we're kind of in the middle. So, yes, we are 25 to 50% more expensive than the generic brands that we kind of grew up with. But that's obviously justified based on the kind of packaging and the kind of materials that we use. But at the same time, we're 25 to 50% cheaper than some of the imported brands that you may find mostly online here or in sort of more high-end supermarkets. And the reality is that the average Malaysian woman wouldn't be able to afford 46 ringgit per box of tampons every other month. So we've kind of sit in that sort of middle point. Of course, as we grow and as we scale, pricing is something that we will really look into and look at how we can, of course, we want to reduce the price to make it more affordable and more accessible for more menstruators.
Right. And so you have a subscription model. How does that work?
So we currently offer a quarterly subscription, so women can choose which products of ours that they want to subscribe to, and it gets sent to them every 3 months, packaged really nicely. We use a lot of biodegradable materials as well for the subscription box. We chose to start with a quarterly subscription service, so that actually reduces waste. In terms of how much we're actually using to ship to the customer. It reduces carbon footprints. And at the same time, customers don't have to pay for shipping costs every month. However, we always talk to our customers, and I do a lot of surveying. A lot of how we make our business decisions is not based on what I think or my assumptions, but we talk to customers and we get feedback from them. But they'd like to see more alternatives when it comes to our subscription service. So we will be launching new aspects to the service to make it more flexible and more customized for the customer sometime this year.
Right. We're going to talk about distribution and where people can find your products in just a moment. I'm here with Melissa from Bobble. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. It's also Menstrual Hygiene Day today. You know, a couple of facts if you all didn't know. A total of 2.4 billion period products are disposed each year in Malaysia alone, and a woman averages 11,000 pads or tampons in their lifetime. So Malaysia is going to talk a little bit. Well, we've been talking about, you know, the idea of what she's trying to do, environmentally, you know, sanitary products, right? How are you distributing your products? Where can people find your products?
Well, we definitely have our website, www.bobbleit.co. We couldn't get bobble.co, so bobbleit.co. So you'll find our full range of products there, and the subscription service is available there. However, we're also available through other online platforms such as Zalora, Purely Bee, and we have a few more that will be launching soon. And then we are also in selected stores across Malaysia. So in KL and Klang, we're in Bangsa Village. We have two locations there, and in Publica. You can find all our stockers on our website, but we're also in Penang, in Johor, and in Kuching. And we recently launched in Singapore, and we'll be scaling in Singapore later this year.
Right. I know one place there that you distribute as well. So we're Dressing Paula in their self-love category.
That's right. Yes. So it's been great to see, like, you know, retail partner brands like Dressing Paula, where they're kind of expanding into different offerings for the everyday woman and for the conscious woman and what they need. So it's been so interesting actually working with fashion brands and rolling out in stores.
Right. Okay, in terms of marketing your products, right, I guess it would be largely online since, you know, we couldn't do a lot of things last year. But I guess if all things being equal, you were saying, what, pop-up stores, what else do you do in terms of marketing?
So, I mean, for the last year or so, it's been super-duper lean, really like learning on the go and only spending where necessary. But this year, yes, we will be at our first bazaar, our first official bazaar. So that would actually...
For the year.
So that will be on June 19th and 20th at Sunnyside Up Market, which is in Heritage Row in KL. So that'll be our sort of first proper opportunity to meet and engage with customers on ground. And again, I think it's a great opportunity for us to educate women on ground as well. We will be on the lookout for more pop-ups and bazaars, but another aspect that we wanted to kind of go into is we work with a lot of community players and corporate partners. We're in discussions with them. And as, you know, business may go back to the new normal and people are starting to go back to work, it's how do we work with, corporates to provide free period products in the workplace. And then we can come in and actually do dialogues and sessions or workshops around menstrual health for women, and also work with community players and engage with them on ground or even online, like through forums, IG Lives, etc. Because another big part of our purpose is how do we educate anyone, basically, women, men, right? I mean, men, you're surrounded by women, right? Daughters, mothers, wives. So we want to improve the education and just kind of create more awareness and break through that stigma and the taboo that still hovers around this topic of periods. Hush things still, but yes.
Right. And so when you have these, these conversations, right, what still astounds you that, you know, that you know, women find about this, women and men, but like I guess largely among women?
People are still shy to talk about it, and it's a natural thing, even something as simple as period cramps. And really, if you have bad period cramps, that's not a normal thing. So, I mean, I think for the ladies out there who are listening, if you have really bad period cramps every month, or you have irregular periods and bad period cramps, you know, some women have to take menstrual leave because it's so bad. That's usually a signal for something that you need to have checked out with a specialist or, you know, a gynecologist. So I think just women are not talking or sharing enough about something that happens to us naturally every month, whereas it's very easy for us to talk about our kids and, you know, breastfeeding and all these other sort of topics, right? But not our periods. And at the same time, I think it's also the language that we use. It's this unconscious bias when it comes to the language that we use on this topic. And I'll point out, I think, Frida, you kind of mentioned it earlier without obviously realizing, but if we look at sort of like the media, if we look at like what we're Googling online, if we look at the supermarkets and how these products are labeled, it's always feminine hygiene or sanitary pads or sanitary care. And I think like hygiene and sanitary kind of creates a sort of negative connotation around this topic. And periods aren't actually a dirty thing. So it's how can we change the language around the space? And this in turn, like I have a daughter now, it's how do I change the language of how I'll be talking to her about this one day when she starts to learn about you know, her periods when she gets that. So it's the language that we use. I think it's still this taboo. It's still this sort of shyness. So sometimes people are still shy to buy it, you know, at a pharmacy. And so they do prefer to sometimes buy online.
Right. Okay. People are shy. Okay. So one of the things that I do, right, you know, whenever if I need to go to the bathroom and I need to, you know, change or whatever, right, and people always like put it in the little pouch and try to hide from it. I just go out there and say, yeah, I got to change it. You know, I don't want to be sure, you know, it happens, right? It's life. I'm a woman. It happens. So this is just like, no biggie. What's, you know, it's a time of month, right? So I think like, so the just being upfront about these things, it helps, right? I feel, maybe I don't care.
I mean, this okay. should be the case. We should be comfortable about this. And if you're at work or you're out, it's like asking a friend, hey, do you have a pad on you? Like, you know, your period just came. And, you know, I think we should be shy about it. And I think that's why when we are working with sort of different partners out there and breaking that taboo and that stigma, you know, can we provide free peer products in schools, at the workplace? It's normalizing this. It's normalizing the conversations as well.
Right. And it's sad, right? The conversation is still not normalized at this point, right? You know, I guess like, okay, so you've had two babies in the period of, you know, trying to start this business and starting this business. And of course, the health challenge that you had, right? And the pandemic, the MCO last year. What have been some of the challenges in running this business? You know, in addition, you know, just running a business has challenges plus all the other factors, right? What has it been?
I think first and foremost, being a mother definitely takes running your own business to a new level. I'm still trying to figure it out. I have a 2-month-old now, so I'm still trying to figure it out and take it a day at a time. I mean, I'm very blessed that I have a supportive husband who's also involved in the business. Right? One day he's going to be talking to my daughter about her period, so I'm confident that he'll be able to do so when that time comes. And, you know, we have a very lean team. I actually have a great team of interns that really helps me. But it's just sort of figuring out how I really spend my time and how I plan my days. And the irony, I guess, during the pandemic, when that hit and we kind of officially started, we actually scaled in our retail. And I think at that time, a lot of retail partners were looking for more products to sell to increase their revenue. And we just so happened to be a product that doesn't stop during pandemic, so we were still selling, but it was just me most of the time, one man band, and that was sort of a challenge of me. And physically, I couldn't go and see anyone, and kind of doing everything from home. So kind of for a physical product and dealing with, you know, retail partners and trying to scale up business, kind of transitioning to running this virtually. I wouldn't say it was a challenge. I think it was just more of something that I had to adapt to. And I'll be honest, I guess, as a female founder in a space of period care, it's not really the most glamorous thing. You know, I'll be honest, I think one of the hard lessons that I learned was that your friends aren't your customers. And I couldn't rely on, you know, my own friends, my own network to actually be my first customers. So it was really about learning how to access to customers that I wouldn't generally know how to access, I don't know, and how do we build the brand awareness. So it's just a lot of learning. I'm not from a marketing background as well, so it really humbled me to kind of go back to the books and really learn online and take some micro learning and courses, and it's just really trial by error. But as a female founder in the space, it's not the most glamorous thing. You know, even approaching investors about this, we've done a very sort of small I suppose, effort, right? We haven't gone full force yet, but even approaching some early investors in this, and majority of them are men. I'll be honest, the people that I approached in my network were guys. And for them to, I think, understand this space it's harder for them to understand. And there's, again, a lot of education that needs to happen. And I don't know, I'll be honest, I don't know if we're a very investable business given the industry that we're in. So, so these are some of the challenges that I faced amongst all the little day-to-day operational things that happen with running in business.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are the other plans for 2021? So we know we can find you at the pop-up, right? Where is that again? And when is that? And what else have you got for the rest of the year?
Yep, so again, we'll be at Sunnyside Up Market on the 19th and 20th of June. That's happening at Heritage Row. We are, of course, in all our stores across Malaysia, so you can find our stockists available on our website. We will be launching into more stores this year, and also in more marketplaces as well. So you can also check out not only your bubble products, but other skincare and beauty products as well. So do follow our Instagram at bubble.it so that you'll know when we actually launch in sort of these new platforms. We've also launched in Singapore. So some of our plans this year is scaling our presence in Singapore and potentially looking into other markets outside of Asia as well.
Right. What was it about skincare products?
Oh, so we'll be launching. I mean, that thing drops a big hint, but you know, talking to some brands out there and how we can be available, more accessible to different women out there, so you can check out different brands.
All right. Okay. Thanks for spending the morning with us. I've been speaking to Melissa Tan from Bubble. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.